Welcome to the Bridge Church Podcast. Our hope is that God would speak to you during this time, and our mission is to connect you to Jesus daily.
So good, and God has been just so faithful. And really, if we could just say one thing about this journey and church planting and starting church and all these different things, it is that God is faithful, that every time we take a faith step, He shows up. And every time we take another faith step, He shows up. And then things don't go the way that we plan, think, or imagine, right? But He still shows up. Today's message will look a little different. We're still going to dive into a lot of scripture and pick some of those things out. But a lot of our application today is really looking to what is next for our church. What does that look like for us? And really, what's the heartbeat? So some of the application pieces are going to be more like, hey, this is all of us, if that makes sense. And so we'll piece some of those together. But as I reflected over really the past 18 months, sometimes it's easy to get discouraged in the valleys, right? When you don't really see, it's like, okay, God, are you still moving? Is this still the plan? Is this still the direction? Because when 2020 hit and the shutdown came, we became homeless, or we moved everything online. And then after that, on the front end, it looked really great because we didn't have this big building overhead that we're paying the mortgage on and nobody's in, right? But on the back end, when everybody's like, yeah, we own a building, let's open up whenever we want, it got a little harder, right? And so we bounced around. Some churches were really encouraging to let us in and have a home for a season. I mean, we were on Saturday nights for a moment in one place, and then we moved over to New Life and got back on Sunday mornings through all of that. But as I was reflecting on that, the Holy Spirit began to whisper some things to me. I don't know if He's ever done that to you, but kind of just leans in and whispers some truth to you. And one of the things I feel like God really impressed on my heart is that we had a special opportunity, and still do today, because we're portable, that we as a church, meaning you, me, that we get to be a testimony that the church is not a building, right? Like, we get to be a testimony that no matter where we are, as long as that's a collective body of believers worshiping Jesus, like, that is the church. Amen? Like, that's just the beautiful picture. And that's what we get to do. We get to be a part of that. We get to say, hey, I know the church is not a building because we're living it, right? Like, it doesn't matter where we go, where we set up, but we're going to open up God's word and we're going to come together, build community, and experience what God is doing. That's not a part of my message, but we're just starting off there. But I want to pray for us, and then we're going to jump in. If you have your Bibles, if not, we're going to have it for you on the screens. We're going to be in James chapter 2. And if you're joining us for the first time, maybe you're listening online, we're in this series, as Jacob was talking about, called Faith Steps. And we really just took a deep dive into what does that mean? What does it look like for us? That word is tossed around, especially in the church world, so often. But what does that look like when I go to work, when I go to school, when I am parenting, all of these different things? What does that actually look like? So I'd encourage you, if you didn't catch some of those first weeks, to go back and look at some of those. But today we're closing this series out, and then we have an incredible speaker, standalone, coming next week. And then we're going to start a brand new series after that called Battle Ready. So hope you guys are looking forward to that. Begin to pray for that. But today we're wrapping that faith series up. And as I was thinking about today, the title for my message is Faith Works. Faith Works. And I started to think about this story. Some of you guys may laugh about this, but I remember the first time my wife convinced me to go to one of these group workout classes. It was here in Bluffton, and it's called Burn Boot Camp, okay? I know y'all got some Burn Boot Camp fans in here. She convinced me to go, and I remember we all got in the group. We're all right there on the mat, and it's where you're all spread out, and it's a ton of, like, HIIT training, very much cardio. You're moving from one thing to the next, and at the time, I wasn't, like, working out like crazy. And so we get going, right? And sweat's already coming. And my lungs are already burning. My arms are already tired. And the very energetic lady comes up and she's like, "Woo, all right. The warm-up is done. You guys ready?" And my eyes just got like this big, like, warm-up? Are you kidding me? Like, I'm ready. I'm done. Like, that was 20 minutes. Like, let's go, right? And I remember thinking about that, like, oh, we are just getting, like, I'm in. literally by the end of the workout, I'm laying on the ground, and she's like, all right, next. And she comes by and just kind of kicks my leg, like, it's time to go, right? And I was like, this is not going to be good. But I remember thinking about it, and I was like, oh my goodness, this is just the beginning. This is just the warm-up. And when I was thinking about faith works and thinking about faith, we see this particular chapter in the book of James. And the amazing thing is James takes it just like my Burn Boot Camp like story, those moments where he says, salvation, the moment we place our faith in Christ, for you and I, that's not the end. That is just the beginning. He's saying that we are saved by faith in Jesus Christ. Our lives are changed. Our soul is changed. Our heart begins to change. But then he says, that's like almost the warm-up, right? Like that, we're just getting started in our relationship with Christ. And he invites us into this journey, into what I like to call this dance where I'm following Jesus. If you're more manly, invites us into this battle game, right? Like invites us into this process of saying, I want you to follow me. And I want to shape you and mold you into my image and prepare you for eternity and all of these different things, invites you into this moment and teach you. It says the Holy Spirit is our great teacher, right? One of the roles that he plays, it brings revelation, brings faith step. And James, he really takes on, and through his entire book, really the theme is all about faith. But not just faith, salvation, faith. And I think that's important for you and I, because if we read James chapter 2 in the reflection of salvation, then we may can get confused a little bit of going, wait, are we saved by grace or are we saved by works? And so it's important for you and I to know that when we read this chapter, James is talking about after we have received Christ, after we have given our life to him, and then he begins to paint this picture for us. The book of James is special because James is the half-brother of Jesus. And if you had to convince anybody that you were the Son of God, who do you think would want to be probably the hardest person to convince? Your brother, right? Like that you are truly the Son of God. And so James is convinced, and not only that, inspired by the Holy Spirit, he writes some truth. James is often called the Proverbs of the New Testament, because the way he writes, he gives these quick pieces of wisdom for you and I, these very practical pieces. And really the theme of James is faith, but not only faith, but faith and how it works in our life. Like how do we take our faith and how does it play out into what we look like? James was actually one of the first books in the New Testament, if you think about it chronologically. It was one of the early books written. But we're going to start here in James chapter 2, verse 14. Everybody good? All right, amen. James chapter 2, verse 14. This is what it says. What good is it, dear brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith, but don't show it by your actions? Can that kind of faith save anyone? Suppose you see a brother or sister who has no food or clothing and you say, goodbye, have a good day, stay warm and eat well. But then you don't have that person, but you don't give that person any food or clothing. What good does that do? So you see, faith by itself isn't enough unless it produces good deeds. It is dead and useless. James is not beating around the bush here, right? Like he's not playing with words. And then he says, no. Now, someone may argue, some people have faith, others have good deeds. But I say, how can you show me your faith if you don't have good deeds? I will show you my faith by my good deeds. We see this, and you can see if you kind of just pick it out, it can be easily confusing about works and how we receive our salvation. But what James is trying to say is I want you to put your actions and put our feet in front of the other by what we believe. We talked about our definition of faith was what we believe, and then moving our life based off of that belief of what we have in Christ. And so as we look at faith steps, James is telling us, he is saying faith without works, and he uses this word, is dead, right? It's almost like he is telling us is that what true faith actually looks like. If you're taking notes, true faith produces good works. True faith produces this fruit that God is calling us to. And it's not to be confused, because the danger of all of this is it just is to turn into a Pharisee in the New Testament, right? Because the Pharisees, they focused just on work and they forgot about the heart. They forgot about how faith actually comes about. And they started checking this religious box off. And then they would actually even show off. Like imagine you and I going to church church, and then we going around outside and going, "Woo! I made it to church every Sunday this year. Look at me. Woo! I prayed for 30 minutes this morning. Everybody, look at me!" Right? Like we're posting on social media. Like, oh man, I memorized like 12 verses this week. Right? Like, imagine if we lived that way. But that's exactly what the Pharisees were doing. They would wear these tassels, that list, and these prayer boxes. And every time they would memorize one, they would show these things off, like, "Look at my works." But if we look at Jesus, who is the greatest example of this, which he could have, right? He could have boasted about all of his works. He could have boasted and said, "Look at everything I created. Look at that mountain. I breathed that into existence. Look at this." Oh, like, he could have boasted on that. But what did he do? He came humble. And he pointed everybody to the Father. And he's like, "I'm only able to do this because of the Father that is working through me." And what a great example for you and I of what faith truly is. That I am rooted and grounded in my faith in Jesus. And now my actions flow out of my faith in Christ. And it's not the other way around. And the closer, the people I know who are closest to Jesus are the ones who are humble. Or the ones who are living their lives for Christ because they get in his presence. And they say, "Oh, I want to change my life this way. I want to talk this way. I want to act this way." And we see this beautiful picture begin to play out. One of my, I'm not going to say favorite because I'll say that all the time, right? But one of the stories in the Bible that I think is a beautiful picture of what this looks like is in Luke chapter 19. Maybe you've heard of this guy, Zacchaeus. If you grew up in church going to VBS and stuff, Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. Hey, right? But that's the story. If you didn't grow up in church, I just look weird up here singing songs. But Zacchaeus, the story of a man named Zacchaeus, and the Bible tells us that he was notorious. I mean, he was rich and he was well known, like showing up in the nice Escalade, the rim still spinning, like all of the, I'm dating myself, but like he's showing up, right? And this notorious sinner, this notorious rich person, and that's who, what his, that's his actions. That's the way he lived his life. And Jesus started to build a reputation because Jesus at this time has started his ministry and people are getting up and walking. People are raising from the dead. People are who were possessed by demons. He would pray and they would leave. So every time Jesus would get to a city, this crowd began to come. So as Jesus was going into Jericho, Zacchaeus, he wanted to see, who is this man? Who is this Jesus? All this reputation. But he was short in stature, right? All my short people in the house, power to us, right? But like he is short in stature and he couldn't see. So he found this sycamore tree and he climbed up in the tree and began to look down. And Jesus being Jesus, right? He's walking into this massive crowd. He could have said like, "Yes, I'm here for my people. Let me pull everybody together. Let me give this big old sermon," right? But Jesus stops for one man. Jesus, the creator of all things, who knows all things, right? In his all power, he stopped to talk to one man hiding in the tree. In fact, not just one man, but a notorious sinner. I'm talking about somebody who was far from God, who lived his life moving away from God. But Jesus stopped and said, "Hey, Zacchaeus, what you doing for dinner? Can I come to your..." He just invites himself over. I love it. He's like, "Can I come to your house tonight?" And I'm sure Zacchaeus is like, "You talking to me? Like me? Right? Like, sure. Yeah, come on over. Yeah." And I'm sure he's like cleaning up. Maybe he's like trying to hide like the beer bottles and stuff from the night before. I don't know. Like he's just hiding, like trying to make this happen, throw the jacket over that. And Jesus comes and we don't know what happens, the interaction at his house. But all we do know, when you get to the end of this story in Luke chapter 19, Zacchaeus spends time with Jesus. And then we see that his entire life changes in a moment. We see his faith turns. And what does Zacchaeus do? Immediately his actions change. Immediately when his faith is in Jesus, he's like, that lifestyle's not for me anymore. Jesus is calling me to a new way. So if I have cheated anybody, I'm going to pay them back four times as much. And all the money that I have that I thought was for me, now my actions are changing. I want to give it to God. God, you use it. Jesus, I want more people to have what I have. I want more people to experience what I just experienced when you came and sat at my kitchen table and you loved me enough to come, right? And we see this play out, and the most beautiful picture we see is that of Jesus, right? For God so loved the world that he gave Jesus, he didn't just sit on the throne. He could have, right? He didn't just sit on the throne, but he got up and came to earth as a baby. And he says, I love you so much. I love you so much. I love you so much. I love you so much that my actions are going to change. I'm going to show you, right? It's the evidence of my faith is when my faith is truly in Jesus. The evidence of that is the fruit. Evidence of that is the actions that I begin to play out inside of my life and inside of my heart. That God is an overflow. And now I don't do those actions for validation. Because that can be dangerous, right? If I need you to affirm me, then I'm going to get bogged down. But God is saying, I want you to be fully made complete in me first. That you know that you are enough. I am made whole. Now I can walk in and I can love whoever because I don't need validation from you. It comes from Jesus. My faith is in Jesus. And because of my faith is in Jesus, now I can love you. Now I can give you this or walk in this and all of these things because first I know who I am. In Jesus, and my actions begin to play in and through that. We see in James, he says some of the actions as that he gives us in the Bible. It says, suppose you see your brother or sister who has no food or clothing, and you say, goodbye, have a good day, stay warm and eat well. But then you give that person any food or clothing. He's like, what good does that do? And I love how he takes it from a big, like, this salvation moment down to the practical of going, if somebody needs food, if somebody needs water, one of the ways you and I can show love, show grace is in that. And so for you and I, what does that look like? What does that good works do for you and I? And I want to remind us here in Ephesians chapter 2, it says this, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is a gift from God, not by works, so that one can boast. And then it says, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good, what? Works, right? Which God prepared in advance for us to do. He gives us a clear picture. James, his faith in this faith without works is dead, sits in that beautiful spot where he talks about good works. How amazing is it to you, if you listen to this, that God, you are his, some translations say you are his masterpiece. You are his handiwork. And then he says, I have plans, good works for you that Jesus planned a long time ago. Before you were born, he was like, oh, I know Crystal's going to be born, and here's the works I'm lining up for her to do. I'm lining up for Jacob to do. I'm lining up for Tim to do. Like, all these things, like, I know that I'm prepared these in advance for you. But our role to play is say, God, I believe that verse enough to pursue you and to live into those good works. And we trust him enough to know to begin to take that into place. But what are those good works for you and I? And as we look at our church, the Bridge Church, I want to take the next few moments and really talk about what does that look like? What are the good works that God has called us to do here in the Low Country? And this past August, I believe, we shared this vision that God has given us for the church, and we call it 3 for 3 vision. Anybody remember that? I know Jason remember that. David, yeah, here we go. But 3 for 3 vision. And I want to share that real quick of what that looks like, okay? And the first one we talked about for you and I is we're 4 years old, right? Like I joked earlier, we're toddlers. We're moving into this thing of what God can do, and we're seeing him move. One of our hearts is to have a building, but not just so that we can gather on Sunday mornings and high five and chest bump and all those things, which is awesome. It will be a place to worship. It will be a house of prayer, but we want it to add value to the community. And so for you and I, we have a vision for the Bridge Community Center. And just like James says in chapter 2, he says, if somebody needs food, clothing, whatever they need, like we as a church are able to provide that. We want to provide the spiritual and physical need. My prayer is that more people get saved on Monday than they do on Sunday, right? Well, I want everybody to get saved every day. But anyway, you get what I'm saying? Like all these on Monday, too, it's not just for 1 hour on Sunday, but on Monday it's open. Tuesday we're ready. Wednesday we're ready to help that our faith is in action, right? And if something, God forbid the Bridge Church was ever taken out of the Low Country, I want the community to go, oh, man, They were so generous. They were so giving. They were there. They were praying for me. They were providing for me, all of these things. And so, yes, and then in the Bridge Community Center, yes, then now we meet on Sunday mornings in that Bridge Community Center, but it's also open to those around us. And this is one thing I really haven't done. I'm going to talk just for a second in like the super practical and talk a little bit about some of our finances. Is that cool? Everybody good? Shaking it off? All right, awesome. And because for you to know too, put this in gold, because we're in this together, right? We're in this together. And so right now you can go to our giving page and you can see what our monthly budget is. And then for the past 3 months, you can go and see how much has come in those 3 months. We only do it 3 months at a time, just so we don't take up the whole space on the website. But you can go on there and look at that at our thebridgebluffin.com/give. We try to keep that updated as possible. But our monthly budget is about $9,600 a month. And that's to help all of these things that you see. We have our outreach part of that process, all of those things, our staff, whatever that may look like, is a part of all of that. But for our area, real estate is at an all-time low, right? No. Everybody's like, what you talking about, Dave? This is crazy out there. Yes. So hopefully this bubble will change a little bit. But for right now, for our area, good thing is it's a rapidly growing area. Lots of people are moving in. But for real estate, it makes it a little tricky, right? But we're praying. For us, our monthly budget needs to be more at about $20,000 a month for us to realistically say we can afford something for the size we need in the area we need. Anywhere from about probably $6,000 or $7,000 square feet to 10 or so, we can begin to make some really great things happen. And of course, we can go to multiple services. This is another goal we got. You guys ready for this? This is a big one. Faith steps, right? Here we go. You can start praying over this number. When me and my wife were trying to get out of debt, I would have told her, but like, hey, just give me the number. What's the number? I need to start praying over that number and just seeing how God continues to provide. But for us, we need to have about $100,000 ready for a down payment if we want to purchase something and to be real listed to come to the bank and say, we're ready, right? And so we're ready. And so this next year, we're going to be talking a little bit about that, of what that looks like. I know that gets kind of icky in church, but for us, we want to be transparent. We're in this thing together, right? And so these are some of the goals that we want to invite you into. So let's begin to pray about this. Because for the one part, this is what we're moving to. We want to help provide spiritual and physical needs here in the community, in the Low Country. See God move and work. On Monday, our mission statement is connect people to Jesus daily, right? To have that opportunity. And so if you think about this, we have the boat, right? We have that journey, but we're also leaning into the crew. We need the crew, right? And so we are committed to raising up disciple makers and leaders for the kingdom of God. We love Sunday morning. We love gathering together, and this is so fun. And when Jacob leads, it's like, oh my goodness, let's just go, right? Like all these things is so incredible. For you and I, we know we are called to make disciples, right? That's what he's called us to do. That every single one of us has that unique calling where he says, therefore, and go and make disciples of all nations, right? And so we want to make a commitment to you to say, if you plug in and become a member of our church, jump into a small group, our goal is to train you up in the ways of the kingdom of God so that we can overcome sin, so we can go into a dark world and be a light. Not just disciple makers, but we want to help your influence increase as a leader as well. And so as we think about these two dynamics, just like Jesus did with his disciples, right? He started with the small group and began to teach them about discipleship. And then they would have some big events that they would pull off. And he would begin to show them, okay, this is what you do. This is how you do it. And one of my favorite principles, tell me what you do have. Don't tell me what you don't have, right? He's like, bring it to me. Watch me work and have those faith steps. And so we see that. But the crew that we see, that we want to create world changers. Not we creating, but meaning we want to bring people to the feet of Jesus and open up his words and see warriors for Christ. See people going out into a dark world, pandemic, no pandemic, political unrest, whatever it is. But we send people out going, I know who I am in Christ. And just like in Christ alone, I don't have to fear the things that are in front of me, but I'm stepping forward in faith. And so we're raising people up who know the word of God and who know how to hear God's voice and to walk into that truth. Amen. I get excited about this, so y'all have to calm me down a little bit. But this last one, here we go. You guys ready? Here's another faith step. The last one is sending. So if you think about this, I love fishing. I don't know how to fish in the salt water here in the river. I'm trying to learn, okay? But we talk about fishing. We have that boat. We have the crew that's working in the boat. And then at some point, you got to push off, right? You got to push. Sometimes the boat gets a little big. We got too many crew. Now let's go out and create more so we can get more fish. We can help other people. And as God moves, I believe God is doing something special in the Low Country. But I think also, as we lean into the Holy Spirit, God's doing something special in the church. That where people don't necessarily need the big, right? You and I believe that authenticity and relationship is the currency of 2022. I think people are hungry for relationship. People want to be together. And so as we're raising up disciple makers and leaders, we want to take the Bible seriously when it says go, right? It doesn't say, hey, get as many people in one room as possible. No, he says, no. You train people up and then we send them out, right? We send them out into a dark world to help them become disciple makers, to empower them for the gospel. And so we're starting to pray now. What does the next campus look like? And we're not trying to say it has to be a bridge church. We're just saying, how can we plant more churches and be a part of that from the very beginning? Because when you and I get to heaven, we're not going to be going, the Bridge Church is awesome, right? Singing, no, we're going to be like, Jesus, right? Like, his name is famous. We're worshiping him. And so as we see these begin to happen, when I look out into our church and our leaders, I not only see you walking in as parents and as wives and all of these things, but I see disciple makers. I see small group leaders. I see pastors. One day. I see all of, right, that God is going to raise up people so that we can reach a lost world. There's 119,000 people in Beaufort County and Jasper County who on the last census, right, checked, they do not go to church. They have no religious affiliation. 119, I hope that number keeps us up at night. 119,000 people who don't know Jesus, who don't know that they have an abundant life who is found in Christ, who don't know where they're going to spend eternity. And I just, for you and I believe that God's called us to that. And for you and I to say, you know what, not only do we read about it and sing about it, right, but we are going to take steps in it. We believe it in faith. We believe that faith, not only is there faith works, but we also believe that faith works, right? Amen? Like, faith works. When we place our faith in Jesus, it works. He works in us and through us, and we see him move inside of our lives and inside of our hearts. Some of the things that are unique for us, the works that we're called to, maybe you've seen these. I just want to share with you our core values. Everybody okay? Or do I need to start walking the aisles? No? High five? Okay. But so our core values, this is our core values for the church. And I'll tell you, just be a little different today, but 4-year anniversary, we're talking about vision. We're talking about where God's going, where God's called us to. And so for us, one of the core values is bridge to generations. We love bridging the generations. We live in a unique area where we are on a college campus, right? One of the highest demographics moving into Bluffton are young families. But we also know this is the number one retirement community on the East Coast, right? Look at all of these generations, and how beautiful is it to know that we can bring those generations together, right? Because young people, we could be passionate, right? Excited, zeal, but you're like, whoa, 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 right? We need the wisdom to come in and go, no, you need to stay on the right direction in that passion, in that zeal, right? We need, every person has a role. Every person has a specific place. And I believe it is so beautiful when we see the bridge to generations happen all throughout. We see it on stage. We see it all throughout our ministries. And I spent 7 years as a student pastor. One of our things we would say is you don't have like a kid version of the Holy Spirit. No, you have the same Holy Spirit living in you when you give your life to Christ in fifth grade, as you do in ninth grade, as you do in 10th grade, right? Like, you have the same empowerment. And of course, we want to raise you up in that, but we believe God can use you even during that time. We want to reach those far from God. We talked about 119,000. And then for us, intentional community. We love that word, intentional, because we don't want to sit back and go, oh, I hope some community happens, right? No, we want to take those faith steps and go, oh, I want to be intentional. I want to invite you into it. I want to walk this road together, because this is going to be a theme for us in 2022. We are in this together. My prayer is that you can leave this place going, you know what, if I need somebody, I can call them. because most of us are new to the area, right? We're trying to figure this thing out as well. We're trying to walk in Christ, and for you to know you have somebody in your corner, and we are walking with you. We are walking together in this. And next one is we want to develop strong and healthy families. We believe that God, we can send out missionaries for the gospel as we raise up as better fathers and wives and husbands, and it could be single moms, single parents, single whatever it may look like. We want to raise up strong and healthy families. Generosity, for God so loved the world that he gave, right? That's the way Jesus lived. We want to live with generosity as a church. And then for us, especially as a church plant starting out, we always want to live this way, but engage the community. We want to move forward outside of these walls. Sometimes when we plan outreach events, we don't want to necessarily make everybody come to us. We want to go to them, right? We want to go to the park. We want to go to the neighborhood. We want to engage people out in the community, in their world, because we, out of everybody, right? We at the Bridge Church, we know the four walls cannot contain the church. The four walls that cannot hold us in. Guys, everywhere we go, the light of Christ goes, and we get to experience that. We get to walk into that, and we begin to see what God is doing in and through our lives. And so I'm getting ready to wrap up the message here because y'all gonna make me talk all day. But anyway, we're getting hungry though, right? Love that time together. Anyway, as we begin to think about these things and think about faith works, I want to bring it, that's where for us as a church, that's where God's called us to. And honestly, that's been our vision from the very beginning, of this where God's called us to. And we're able to see God continue and begin to really do some of those things in an incredible way as he's raising up people for the gospel. But as you think about your life, and maybe you're beginning to pray, and you've been listening to this whole series of faith steps, and we have a moment for you and I to evaluate our lives and to say, God, where do you want me to trust you more? When I say trust you more, where in my life am I not seeing the fruit of Christ play in and through my life? Where can I say, God, you know what? This avenue that I'm living my life is not of you. How can I surrender that to Christ? And how can I place my faith and trust you enough that where, God, I need you to help me change that habit or change that mindset or change this way about me? And it can be scary, right? It can be fearful. It can be like, oh, God, I got to do that. But you and I have to have faith in that moment to surrender that to Christ. And I want to share one more verse with you. Is that okay? You guys still good? Very good. I just get excited. We should be here all day. You know, just get, anyway. You're like, Daniel, hurry up. Luke chapter 6. I think this is so big. This is for you and I. I just want to leave us as a church with this, because this is what God's called us to. And this is where the actions of our faith come from. Luke chapter 6, verse 43. It says, "No good tree bears bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. Each tree is recognized by its own fruit. People do not pick figs from thorn bushes or grapes from briars. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and an evil man brings evil things out of evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of." And Jesus kind of brings people in tight, and he's like, hey, remember, our faith works come out of the condition of our heart. And he's saying, if you focus in on your heart, surrender your heart, surrender your life, your mind says, you surrender that to me, I will begin to change your heart. And then the fruits of the Spirit will begin to manifest and begin to move and work inside of our lives as we take those steps of faith. And we begin to see love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, self-control, all of these different things. And the fascinating thing about this is sometimes it's hard to picture this and our relationship with God, but every other relationship we have, it's almost like, oh yeah, of course, right? Like, imagine if I went to my wife and I was like, oh girl, I love you. Like, yeah, I love you so much. We are together. We are in this, right? Or my kid comes up to me and is like, hey, Dad, I love you. You are the man. You are awesome. Anyway, they don't say that, but like all those things. But then they turn around and do the exact opposite of what I just told them, right? And then do that. It would be crazy, right, for you and I to be like, wait, you just told me you love me? and you're not even listening. You're not even, like all of these things, right? Like for that, when it's in that context, but when we think about our relationship with God, He's calling us into that relationship of going, God, I love you. I'm worshiping you. I'm praising you. And then we turn and begin to live our lives and saying, I love you and trust you so much that I'm walking in your grace, that I'm walking in your truth. This past week, Alan and Bunny were just talking about, or Alan was just sharing about the men's group, and I love our men's group and the women's group and all of our small groups, and talking about Bridge of Generations. I mean, this past week, there were a couple of guys who were in their 90s and 70s and 50s and 30s, like just all these different ages that are part of there. Well, one of the guys sharing, and it really stuck out to me, and I took my phone out real quick and tried to write this down, but it began, we were sharing advice that our parents gave us, and he's in his 90s, and so he remembered this all the way until then, but he said this phrase, and I'm going to read it just because I don't want to mess it up, but I thought it was so good and so profound for you and I. But he said, as his mother used to say this, your actions are speaking so loudly, I can't even hear your words. He said he would begin to talk to his mom, and his mom would step back, kind of, you know, like, your actions are speaking so loudly, I can't even hear your word, right? Like, I was like, what you're saying is not being backed up. And I thought about that. I was like, wow. Like, I want people to look at my life and go, whoo, your actions are even speaking louder than your words. Like, you said this, but now the way you're living it is so true and is so prevalent. And I pray that for you. I pray that for me. That we can live our lives to where our actions speak louder than words, that people can look at our lives and go, they get it, right? Like, man, they must have some kind of faith in Jesus, because look at how they're living their life. Look at the decisions they're making. Look at the wisdom that they have. Look at the way that they are working in and around them. How beautiful can we see this, that how God is continuing to move. And so I just want to pray for us as a church. If you begin to pray and think about, okay, what role can I play in this? As in your seats, you'll see there's opportunities to serve. If you'd like to serve, if you're still checking this Jesus thing out or our church thing out, then that's okay. Just begin to look at that. But if you're sitting here thinking like, yeah, I got some things that I'm ready to take some action in, and we want to give you that opportunity. We want to help you use your gifts and talents for God and what He is doing. So you may look at some of those options there. And then we're going to have some people in our Connect Center right at the end of service. If you have some questions like, hey, I'd love to help in kids, or I'd love to be on the worship team, whatever it may be, there's going to be some people there. Jacob's like, yeah, some people there to help. And maybe you have questions, or what does that look like? And for us at our church, we have something we call, we just want you to come observe, right? You're like, you know, I want to serve in this area. We want you to come observe. Just check it out. See if that's a place where God may be calling you to do. But maybe it's for you. It's something in your life that you want to pray into, of saying, God, I need you to help me change this habit. I need you to change this mindset. I need you to work in my life this way, God. I want to see you working in and through my life. And I need your help, God. I need community around to help in this process of what that looks like. And so let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your truth, God. Thank you for the opportunities that you give us. God, I pray that you would speak to our hearts. I pray that we may live in faith, God. I pray that you fill our heart up to the point where it's overflowing, where actions want to be taken over by your word, where actions want to be taken over by your truth. God, I pray that there's anyone in here who is sitting in this room and they're not sure, God, if they have a relationship with you. I pray that we have a conversation today, God. I pray that they give their lives to you. I pray that we step into intentional community of what you've called us to. God, I pray that we walk in your grace, walk in your truth. I pray that we will experience you, God, maybe like we've never experienced you before, because we begin to take faith steps inside of our lives. God, I pray for boldness. I pray for courage. I pray for all this. We ask all this in Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen.
Thank you for tuning in to the Bridge Church Podcast. If you would like to find out more information about our church, you can simply visit our website at thebridgebluffton.com. Have a blessed day.